Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Lord likes to surround us with His blessing every way that He possibly can. Worship team, thank you. We just entered into a high and holy place worshiping the Lord. He always invites us to come up a little higher. Well, today is, I guess we'll call it a beginning of what's probably a series. I don't know if it'll be weeks in a row or if it'll be every month one sermon. I don't know how it's going to go exactly, but I know that the Lord is setting us up for things that He desires to bring to pass in our lives. That's really what the Scripture is. When we study the Word, we need to see it as God bringing seed into our life of things to come. Now, you get the privilege of deciding what you're going to plant in your life and what you're not going to plant. But I would ask you to make a conscious decision rather than overlooking a planting. Make a conscious decision in what you want to plant. Now, what I determine in my heart is to always bring you first quality seed. Bring you what I believe is fresh from the Father's heart, because He knows what the harvest is for our future. He knows what we most need. He knows what will do us the most good. And He knows as He's moving in our lives to do us good, we're going to in turn turn around and do Him more good. That's why we're really here, and we know it, is to do His kingdom some good. We're here on purpose, and it's His purpose, not ours. So when we submit to Him by saying, God, I'm going to take what Your Word says, what the Scripture says, and I'm going to plant it in my life, once we do the planting, God is faithful to water. He's faithful to nurture. Now we've got to get in the weather pattern. We've got to get in the divine flow, and that means we keep hearing God's Word till we become saturated with it. I want you to understand that the life of faith requires that we come into a saturation point where we are more full of God's Word than what's going on in the world. We're more full of God's Word than our own intellectual opinion. We're more full of God's Word than everybody else's words around us. Now, if you don't know it, that requires intentionality. You are at a location that requires your intention to get here. Most folks don't go three blocks down the street and they arrive at Living Word. Most travel 20 miles or more. So if you're here, you're here on purpose. Well, you can be at a destination on purpose, but then you have to choose while you're at the place to get what God's doing at that place. Today, He's wanting to lay the groundwork for, I believe, His soon coming harvest in your life. He's wanting to expand on that. So He's having these, taking us through a very intentional route to get a hold of God's Word in a way that we can expand our borders. You know, I'm a gardener by nature, so many times I see in the Word that it's written to an agrarian mindset. It's meant for people to understand sowing and reaping, and which is a law of the earth that we're in. But God put a higher law over that, and He said that's how the kingdom of God works. So we learn that everything happens in our life by sowing and reaping. This morning, the sowing is coming from God through your pastor to you. You're the good ground. You're as good as you want to be. You're as good as you will believe that you are. You are as good as you will believe God says that you are. And that's how we find out how good we are. We look at what He says, not what we think. Otherwise, there's going to be times you come to church and think, I'm not good ground this week. And when we start thinking that way, we don't have faith to receive the seed. So we have to look at, what does God say? He said everything that He created, it was good, didn't He? Back there in Genesis. That's God's first word over you, and you want to believe that. You are the good ground. So when God produces something that He brings as seed, you want to say, let me get mine. Now you decide how big of a row you want to dedicate to what's being planted. But I would encourage you, I learned a long time ago, you get the most good out of the long rows. This summer we shared garden. We had some short rows, but then we had some long rows. And those long rows, why? There's an unbroken harvest in a long row. I want you to recognize that here we're not just Sunday to Sunday bringing a word that'll produce a harvest instantly in your life. We're providing seed. Honestly, the harvest is up to you cooperating with God for your life. It's really up to you to say, I want some of that. I want to do what it takes to give part of my life to that. And then watch God be true to nurture that word because we come in partnership with Him. The life of faith is a partnership. God expects us to need Him through the whole process. So today we're talking about a life of faith because Scripture teaches us when Jesus comes, when He comes again to take His church out of here, that's one way of looking at Jesus coming. But when we come to church, Jesus is coming. Jesus comes wherever two or three are gathered in His name. He says He's there in the midst. Sometimes people are critical of that statement. I believe Jesus comes to church while there's more than two or three. I believe Jesus comes to my house because there's more than two or three. I believe that when we come together and we ask for Him to be present and we honor Him, the sure way to receive the presence of the Lord is begin to speak words of honor. Jesus always comes where He's honored. That's a scriptural principle. That's how we walk in the presence of God. It's not by our performance. It's by our acknowledging what He has done and honoring that He comes in to minister to us and to bless us. But Scripture talks about what Jesus comes looking for when He comes. He doesn't come just to come in and bless everybody. He has a requirement. He has something that He's looking for that gives Him permission or gives Him access to our life. It's not something that He needs for Himself. He needs nothing for Himself. He already owns it all. But He needs something that happens in us that gives Him access to our life. He can't just do it because it's in the Scripture. The Scripture tells us what He can do. But it's something that we do that gives Him access. It's not all the truth that we know that sets us free. It's the engaging Him in it. It's coming to Him with faith. Now, I believe after this series, you're going to have the greatest understanding of faith of anybody alive walking because I've asked the Lord to do that. Why? He told us last year He wanted us to become better receivers. Well, everything that we get from God comes because of faith. It becomes a part of our life that we think is intangible, but it's a very tangible force in your life that you can recognize as tangible. If I was going to walk up and hit Brian, a tangible hit there, that's tangible but not hard. Faith is that real where faith hits us, it dawns on us, we experience it, and we know when we have come into a place where we're engaging faith. It becomes predictable to know what we're next going to receive from the Master because we learn when faith is manifesting through us. It's a spiritual force. But Scripture teaches that you're first a spiritual being. You're a spirit person first. Then you have an intellect. Then you have a body. So it makes sense that our faith would first be something we understand spiritually. Faith can change your mind about some things. Faith can change your body. Faith can bring healing to your body. Faith can bring a greater understanding to your mind, but faith is out to reform your spirit to make you strong. Well, this is a scripture in Luke 18:7, Jesus telling us something we need to know. He said, when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? He's looking for faith. He's not looking for grace. He's not looking for peace. He's not looking for love. He's not looking for everybody to get along and everything look peachy. He's not looking for the things that we think He might be most interested in. Those are all side benefits to faith. He comes looking for faith. And we're going to see places in the Scripture where Jesus came and faith caused people to get what Jesus had. Jesus is visiting this congregation this morning, and you can only receive from Him what you have faith to receive from Him. The burden of that is not on the preacher. The burden that's on your preacher is to bring the seed of what God wants to bring a harvest in your life, and then for you to nurture it and decide to receive a harvest. There's something else called the mercy of God that operates by faith. If you're really, really in trouble, sometimes you don't have to wait for the harvest to grow. He sends an anointing or a manifestation of the Holy Spirit to make a special delivery out of desperate faith. There's such a thing as desperate faith. But for the most part, God didn't design us to live in desperation. Jesus took our desperation on the cross when he was gasping for breath. He took our desperation on the cross when he took on the wounds that would be for our healing and for our restoration. He took on the anguish of the cross when all sin was laid on him. So he wants us now to be able to receive by faith without there being duress. But I believe we're in a generation where people have learned that they actually will look for every other means to get along except receive by faith. And then when we get in trouble, we want to call on God for a miracle and put pressure on the people around us that we think know more than we do. I want to tell you, don't live to put pressure on others. Don't live to put pressure on God because you're desperate. Learn to stay ahead of the curve of desperation and say, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to receive what I need as I go and not get in bad shape first. Now, we all represent a mixture of those two things. You have parts in your life where you're living by faith and you're trucking along saying, I'm doing pretty good here and here and here. But don't ask me about over here. Or you might have something you really, really want somebody to ask you about over here because you're feeling a desperation. The Holy Spirit ministers to all of that, but primarily we receive by faith, not in desperation. It's hard to get in faith when you're desperate. We become too urgent. And we are trained in this life to take everything into our own hands. Jesus is looking for us to demonstrate faith in who he is and what he has. And that's the main way he wants to bring an upgrade to your life. Now, Jesus operates his kingdom on earth by faith. We're not going to enjoy the goodness of God any other way. God's not moved by the needs in your life. Quite frankly, he's not moved by the desperation we would like him to be. God, you know me. You know I've been faithful, and this part of my life is falling apart. If I could respond in his name, I'd say, and he's saying, and what do you know that's going to change that? Because he gives us truth to change that desperation. And usually we become desperate because we were ignorant to something. Anybody else had a little spell of ignorance before? And then we find out the truth and go, oh, dear God, why didn't I know this before now? It's not too late. It's a matter of deciding to be in faith. But this is 2 Corinthians 13:5. Jesus wants us to examine ourselves. You know, a self-exam is usually better than somebody else doing it if it's pretty private. So I've learned the older I get, the more I'm going to know about that. And that's enough said about that. But this is a self-exam in 2 Corinthians 13:5 written to a group of church folks. Written to a church because the church was experiencing some difficulty and everybody was saying, well, what's next in my walk with God? You know, what's next to overcome all of the oppression that's come on the land? Because they're dealing with Roman oppression. They're dealing with persecution against the church. They're dealing with not being real popular in every circle, but they're experiencing the power of God in the middle of all of that. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the church saying, this is how you go to the next level. You examine yourself. Oh, everybody would like it to be something else. God, just give me something else. God, just do me something else. God, just teach me something else. And he's saying, you don't need any of that until you examine yourself. Why? We're to examine ourselves for what Jesus is looking for. He can't get the next thing through to you or through to me unless we examine ourselves and exhibit the faith to receive delivery on what he's already done. God's done some things for you that yet remain secret to you. And they're going to be opened up to you. It's kind of like getting the seed packet and looking on the front. This is what it's supposed to grow. And then opening it, looking at the little tiny seed and saying, really? That's going to happen from this? Yeah, and in some things you've got to nurture a little extra to get them started. There's a resistance in this earth, and what that represents is any seed you plant in the soil has to push itself up through the soil, but it gains the energy to do it once it's planted, and that's where we have to believe God. Now, examine yourselves whether you be in faith and prove your own selves. Oh, thank God that's there. Doesn't say pastor will prove it in you. Pastor will help bring it to pass. No, 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 no. Pastor brings the seed. Now, if you've seen me garden, I'm quick with the seed and I know what to do with it. And I'm going to tell you, God prepared my heart that way. And I believe when I bring it, I'm going to bring it in a way that I broadcast it and put it in there. I was asked, why do you put so many green bean seeds? I said, that's the ideal population to get the maximum result for the effort I'm putting in. I want you to think that way. Take what comes to you and trust that God will show you how much you need this seed in your life. You may not be able to bank on what somebody else is doing. When I know what I want to grow in the garden, I go to the larder. We have a larder. We live in an old house. We have a whole room that is a larder in the basement. And it's wall to wall to wall stuff that we have put up. Well, I go in the larder and I look at where's the least stuff on the shelf that I want to eat in the coming year or two or ten. What do I need to put in there? And nobody else can do that for you but you. You can decide what it is. It isn't necessarily what I need. It's what I decide I want to have in that larder. I want to have a healthier body in my larder. I want to have long life in my larder. I want to have an abundance and plenty of every good thing to do God's will in the earth because He's called me. I don't want to have as many limitations. So when I go and I think I want 200 quarts of green beans, I know how many seed it takes to do that. And then I insure a little extra against it and think this might be a dry season this year. Then I look at the soil and assess the soil I'm going to put it in. Then I determine how much energy do I have to weed it and can I maintain it and can I do what I need to do. And how many people are going to partner to help me do that? And then how much extra seed should I... And then I... stand ready for the harvest. That's how you have to think about God's word. It isn't the seed that's being given you that's going to do it. It's faith that's going to do it. It's what comes next. I believe that one of the things that I will be judged by of the Lord one day, and it's down the road a ways, He says that teachers will have a harsher judgment. Doesn't really say that about the other ministry gifts. Says that teachers are. So I know why. What seed did they put out there? Well, we live in a place that you look around, it's predominantly a corn and soybean ocean. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, there's a lot more going on than that. There's a diversity. Why? He wants you to not lack in any good thing. That's how He thinks. Now, this word prove means to put yourself under scrutiny. So if you want to grow faith and you want Jesus to see faith, it's entirely, completely up to you. Here's the beauty of it. Nobody needs to know how you are scrutinizing you. Honestly, I don't need to know a thing about that. That's for you because that's where you're going to answer to Jesus. When you pray and He hears you, He comes for your faith. He comes to see where are they demonstrating faith? Where have they grabbed hold of the seed and planted it in their life? What have they given me to work with? Faith gives God something to work with that is what He requires. Remember, God's working around this fallen world. He's working around a devil who hijacked His plan in the first place. Jesus created a bypass from the curse of the world into the blessing of God like it should have been from the beginning. But we have to give him something legally to work with. And he calls it the seed of his word. Because his word is forever settled in heaven, and not even the devil's hijack plan for this world or your life can stop the word of God. It's the seed of God. But the seed of God requires something that the devil tried to steal from everybody, and that would be faith. The word has to have faith mixed with it. The word has to have faith mixed with it that says, I will plant this and it will bring a harvest. The seed, God's word, is programmed to do what it's supposed to do. But without faith, it is impossible to please the master because nothing can come of this seed. I want you to know that there's seed planted in your life standing in dry ground waiting to be watered. Because when we start to speak words of faith, the water comes. The refreshing comes. The nurturing comes. The goodness of God comes. And that's where the harvest comes. Now, prove. Put yourself under scrutiny. Well, I don't know if you like to do that or not, but I've learned I have to do that. I've learned now why sometimes when people look older, they look funny. So what do you mean, Pastor? They can't see as good. So, you know, when I shave, I'm older enough that I need a magnifier mirror to get it right, or I might miss a little patch. If I miss a little patch for a couple days, it looks really strange as there just seems to be extra output on hair. Now, I say that because we can scrutinize as much or little as we want to. Faith grows because we take on the choices to be hard on ourselves to live in faith. It won't rub off. Faith won't rub off from somebody else onto you. Faith comes because you choose to look into the mirror of God's word and say, I need to look at what I'm supposed to become rather than just see me for what I am right now. And the word moves us into God's future by faith so that it can get better. So you have to decide what magnification. This series will entirely, I'm going to tell you, it'll entirely depend on what you do with it. But over the course of this year, I believe there's going to be a treasure trove of seed provided you to go to the next level. Now, some of you have some barriers to the next level. There's problems. Welcome to the real world. That's why it's faith and not predictability. It's faith. Yeah, the only predictability we have is we look at God's word and it gives us a picture of what's to come or what the harvest is. He didn't say we wouldn't have resistance or problems or rocks in the dirt or, you know, relationships go awry or ideas change or challenges come. Or, you know, sometimes our mind gets so educated that our mind becomes a barrier to the plan of God because we just decide, I can't see how that will ever happen. And we talk ourselves out of it instead of talking ourselves into it. I could do that anytime I look at a seed pack and say, tomatoes are going to come from those little scrappy things and they charge me $10 for 15 seeds. You got to be kidding. What motivates me? If I had to pay a little bit of price for them, I'm more likely going to have faith that they'll produce something. So you decide what it's worth to you. See, that's how faith works, is we have to decide, is the harvest worth the gamble, and how much of a gamble is there in believing God since I'm a church person? Since I'm a Christian, since I choose to call myself a Jesus person, should I believe him or not? See, I think we're set up to believe him. I think that if you're here this morning, you're already part of the divine setup. You're already committed enough to decide that you believe there's going to be this harvest in your life. Now, so God's plan is to lead us into a life of faith because he's looking for it. It's his plan. You will not get around this. You will not get around God having a plan for you to live by faith. Jesus is not going to set you up to fail, and he's not going to come to look for something in your life that he didn't expect from us in the first place. He expects us to live by faith. So when we shy away from it, and we start to settle in and we start to think, well, this is all there is and I should be happy and content because I'm doing better than a lot of people. I ought to just be happy. shrug off that wrong spirit. See, when we start to settle, we just become kind of a part of the world rather than dominating by being in God's kingdom first. You are made for more than that, or Jesus would not require faith, nor would he be looking for it when he comes to visit. Jesus enjoys our worship, but he's not looking for that. He's looking for faith. He's looking for what comes of this interaction when we trust him. We're saying, Jesus, I trust you. And that's an outward expression of faith. But he's looking for the inward belief. You can have an outward expression at church and it's wonderful, but it's not going to get you the goodness of God. The inward expression called faith is. When you walk out of here and you're bombarded with everyday life, and you look in the mirror and think, oh, I don't like the magnifying mirror. Oh, I don't. And you just decide, I'm going to believe God anyway. I'm going to choose to trust him anyway. Because why would you serve a master you don't trust when you have choices? So we need to remember, he chose us first, but we feel like we picked him first. He chose you because he knows you have the goods to trust him. He chose you because he has destined you for a life of faith. He's chosen you so that your life of faith will establish his kingdom in the earth. That's where we're going with this. God has designs on you. You don't have designs on him. See, I remember the early part of my life thinking, oh, I'm so thankful I found Jesus. Then I looked at the scripture and said, he picked me before I ever found him. That was humbling. That made me think, okay, it isn't a matter of me choosing him. He picked me, and I would just marvel at that. Think, I wonder what for? Well, I'm telling you what for. He chose you for a life of faith. And what you choose to do with it has to do with what you get a hold of when the word comes to you. What you are hungry and thirsty for, quite frankly. When you go to the larder of your life and say, I believe I would like some more of this, and I've learned I can like new things. I've learned that the freezers are part of the larder. I've learned that meat can go in the freezer, and I like meat. So I like to have, so I not only look at the vegetable crop and the fruit crop, but I look at the meat to say, oh, the whole meal to me revolves around that cut of meat. Now that's maybe a me thing, but it's a guy thing for a lot of, for a lot of people, you plan your meal that way. Decide that you're going to get a hold of some meat of the word today, because faith has to do with the meat of God's word. It's what Jesus is looking for the most. It's what gets us the goodness of God. I believe in learning about love. I believe in learning about grace. I believe in learning about the peace of God. But Jesus is not coming looking for that. He's saying those are all things that will happen if we live a life of faith. Now, faith gives us access to the king. We're in a kingdom. Faith gives us access to the king, and we have to learn to think the right way, to have kingdom thinking. Faith is a kingdom operation. It requires interaction with the king. Faith is an expression of my relationship with the king. What I receive by faith has to do with me knowing the king, knowing what I'm allowed to ask for, and knowing when I ask, I'm going to get what's coming to me. But I have to know that he said in his word, it's coming to me. I have to have not just a head knowledge of that, or be in a physical proximity where I'm going to get the seed. I have to also believe I'm the good ground and I'm responsible to plant it in here. Pastor can broadcast it, but you got to go and grab it and put it in there. You know, that's for me. I'm getting that. And I'd be in somebody else's meeting and I'll say, that's mine right there. I'll say it right out loud and people look like, what's the deal with him? I'm taking hold of that. I'm taking hold of that possession. And as I do, I'm seeing what it could produce. And I get excited about the possibilities. I get excited about the possibilities if it's a dry season. I just decide I got to do a little extra to get it watered, And I have help to get it watered sometimes. A water wagon to get it watered sometimes with full-on throttle where they soup up the engine to make it pour out a lot of water. Runs down in trenches through the garden because a little bitty dab that would be normally enough is not enough. So we got to decide in this season. I want you to make a decision to get more of what God has because it pleases him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why? It's what he wants. It's what he's looking for. It's what gets Jesus excited, is basically what this scripture's saying. So this is Romans 10, because we find faith essential to our relationship with Jesus. And this is verse 8. It says, what does it say then? The word, God's word, is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith with which we preach. Think of it this way. Faith is coming in with every package of seed. There's faith mixed with it. I just believe that God's word is true. And I sometimes have people in their good thinking trying to talk me out of it. Well, that's not for today, Pastor. I'll say, you're wrong about that. It's for today with my Jesus. He never changes. If he was that way yesterday, he's that way today, and he'll be that way tomorrow. Why? That's Hebrews 13:8. I just choose, if it's in the scripture, I go, oh, that's part of the truth. That's part of the deal. There's something in that that God meant for me. What did he mean for that in me? Is I'm not going to be talked out of what God said is true by anybody. Well, I've made that decision a long time ago. Why? People try to talk you out of anything good if they don't have it first. Now, Romans 10:8, what does it say then? The word is near you. That's what I can do, is I can bring it near. I can say, here it is. Here it is. And you've got to decide, really, while you're present, while you're here, I'm going to get that. I'm going to take that. That's why sometimes we write things down. I write things down because I see that as me taking it, and it reminds me what I took a little while later when I don't remember what I just took. Why? I like seed to be labeled when I get it. I might grow 10 kinds of tomatoes. I like to know which is which, and when I don't, we just plant them all and see what comes up. And it's better to kind of know, because I might have a design. There's a certain one I like better than others. Certain kind. When it comes time to can them, I like certain kinds are easier to work with. I like the kind you dip them in hot water and the skin falls off. I do not like to have to mess with all that. So, and I like the kind that the stem pops out real easy. You say, well, this is a lesson on gardening. Yeah, you betcha. Because you can determine what the future harvest will be, because there's going to be resistance, but there will always be a harvest. God promises it. See, there's always going to be something come of it if we choose to get in the culture of the kingdom. That's why I say we've got to know about the king. We serve a king who created everything. We serve a king who came and gave his son, the prince, to make our way perfect again. Jesus gave his life to create a bypass around the curse of the devil, the curse that he put on the earth, to say we can unlock the blessing of God in the land of curses. And you become an island in the middle of the world, a faith island that determines what kind of territory are you going to gain for the kingdom of God. Remember who it's for. We serve the king. Everything that we do by faith is for the king. It's not for us. That's the first law of stewardship in the Bible. Is God created it all? He owns it all. The devil took out a lease on all of it, but we can take it back. We take back what the enemy meant to keep in captivity forever. And that's what our life is, and it's hid with Christ in God, is what Colossians 3:3 says. So there is a plan for you to get back what the devil stole from you, and that's what Jesus will do through your faith. And for each of us, it's up to us. I used to think if I was around faith-filled people, faith would get over on me. Well, spiritual knowledge got over on me, because I listened to what they were saying. Spiritual examples were put before me that would encourage me how to get on the right track, and I didn't always like all the examples. I remember asking somebody, how did God bless you so much? Oh, we really became givers. We sold our business and gave the proceeds to the Lord. Oh, well, how do you make it now? We live by faith. And there's a catch. What's the catch? You know what the catch is? They grew through their life to a point that God just began to minister to them that's their role in the kingdom. Their whole ministry was about giving to fund the kingdom of God. Did they ever do without? No. But when they gained what God was doing in their life, they consecrated it back to him. That's what we do when we bring the first fruits. That's what we do when we come to worship, particularly on a Sunday. We're saying, I'm giving my first and my best to the Lord. That's what we do when we get all cleaned up and shaved with the magnifying mirror to come to church on Sunday. We're trying to give him our best possible presentation with what we got to work with. That's faith, all right? That's a picture of a life of faith. We make our best presentation, our best offering to the Lord. And he's not just looking for the external. He's very interested in the internal, which is faith, all right? Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you will confess the Lord Jesus, it all begins there, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, we preach that 100 ways around here. But I want you to understand how faith comes into the picture. We are saved from something first. We are saved from eternal torment in hell. We are saved from a life dominated by sin. We are saved from the curse of the law that is in the earth. We are saved from the devil's plan. We are saved from his destruction. We are saved from his torment, his downturn, his destruction any way that he can bring it. We're saved from that. But that's the smaller part of the picture. We're also saved to the kingdom of God. There is an in-between place where most Christians spend most of their lives. Saved from the devil's destruction, but not yet saved into the land of promise. Coming out of Egypt like the Old Testament church did with a Passover lamb. Coming through the door of the past and saying, I'm entering into new life. But they went to a place called the wilderness and many of them fell down there and never came out. But there was another generation that came out. Now, what does that represent? That doesn't mean anybody over 40 is going to fall down and not enter into the promise. It means that we recognize before Jesus came in the flesh, life was more a test than it was a blessing. And they got out there in the wilderness and they did not yet have a Savior as we know Jesus. They got out there and wandered around, very conscious of their sin. While many Christians spend a life more conscious of sin, more conscious of what the enemy's stealing, and more conscious of the doorway they came out of than coming into the new door. Egypt is the world system. It's what we have without faith. Did you know getting saved from Egypt is not enough? You'll likely go back there. That's what they call backsliding in the Bible. That's what we call any number of terms, or going back to the old life. That old person in the old life is supposed to die, but he dies as we come into new life. He doesn't die when you're saved, still very much alive, saying, you can give up on this. And that's why I hear people say, the word didn't work for me, I tried it. That's the problem. They tried it instead of doing it. He doesn't say we'll be blessed in the trying. He says we'll be blessed in the doing. That's a pretty big difference. Now, he says, for the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Our righteousness is a position. I want you to understand that. Scripture says we're now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. That means when we're saved, we're going to go to heaven, but there's something in between heaven and now called life. And we're to have a life of faith because that brings Jesus into the equation. You're not going to get faith hearing the word once in a while. You're not going to get enough faith to amount to hill of beans. I'm going to tell you how this really works if you want to work. God put a kingdom in place called a system. It's a kingdom that is systematic. It means God has a way it's going to work and we have to subscribe to his ways. Scripture says, and I had this in the notes, but had to cut it out, his ways are higher than our ways, but he didn't say we weren't supposed to learn them. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, so we can learn to operate in God's ways, and we come out above this world instead of being bogged down by it. We come out of the destruction instead of being taken out. We come into a place of abundance and find a harvest rather than continually striving and dealing with lack. That's what he promises in the word. Now, what he's saying here is there is a place of righteousness. If you've accepted Jesus as Savior, you got that. You're eternally secure. You're going to go to heaven. It would be a hard thing to fall out of that because that's a position in a relationship. But then he goes on to say, and with the mouth. Whose mouth? My mouth, our own mouth. We all get one, all right? Only one. And you can try to talk out of both sides of it, you still only got one. All right? Confession is made unto salvation. It means we've got to get there. We've got to get unto it. It means we've got to get to it. We've got to do something about it. We're eternally secure in going to heaven, but if we want to experience something more while we're here, we have to engage our mouth. We have to know what to put in our mouth that needs to come out of our mouth, and what comes out of our mouth is how we scrutinize our faith. It isn't what you're thinking, it's what you're saying. What you're thinking might lead to what you're saying, but what you're saying is the rule. That's what the scripture says. You're eternally secure because God said so. He said, if you accept Jesus, you have God's word on that. But the rest of it is up to us to make our word line up with his word. We've got to confess unto whatever we want to get by faith. That's why Jesus is looking for it. He's actually looking at it saying, what can I do for you? What's your faith talking? What's in your heart that seems impossible with man that is possible with God? That's kind of how you can scrutinize your faith. Can I do this on my own? If I can, not a lot of faith involved. If I can't do this on my own and I can't see a way to do this on my own, probably faith involved. Especially if I go from thinking to speaking. You can have a lot of secret thoughts and they can be wonderful. But when you start to speak them, they can be challenged. Others can say, who do you think you are? A son and daughter of the King. I know the King. I have access to the King. I'm going to talk about some things as we close that are kind of abating you for the future. You're not going to go out of here having grown in faith a lot, but you're going to go out of here today understanding a little bit more of what's necessary. Why? I believe God has higher levels for everybody. I believe that if Jesus came to the earth and comes to the earth and comes to us looking for faith, he got something in mind he wants to give us, because that's how he gives us this part he's talking about, unto salvation. See, we've been saved from hell. Now we're being saved to something, unto something. That means we're not to be content that we're eternally secure. We're to go for the goods, to possess the land, to establish the kingdom of God, and say, my whole purpose is to do something for the master. Jesus is not just my savior, he is my Lord. See, that's the whole difference. I'm not going to just settle. See, there's a whole lot of things said about getting saved so you won't go to hell. And I appreciate those ministries, but I don't want to stop short of the glory of God. The glory of God says, and we can, by faith, receive more from him every day that we're here. That's why you're still alive. If you've had a near brush or two or three like me, you know why you're still here. And if you don't know, I'm telling you why is the word of the Lord. You are here because he has a plan for you to produce something that will bless you, but will establish the kingdom of God in the earth. And that's why you're here. And you'll probably say, but me? Why would he pick me? Because you thought you were picking him and he picked you ahead of time. And when you thought you were choosing him, he was saying, I confirm that I wanted you. And we learn that we were in before we knew we were in. That's pretty amazing. Now, for with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth. The heart part's easy. We have an empty place and Jesus comes to fill it. That's easy. The mouth part is something that we have to decide what to put in there so he can fill it. We have to decide what do we want. We speak out what we want. We speak out the harvest that we want. You can go away from here knowing something intellectually, but it will not settle in your spirit until you speak it out. That's how it becomes a part of your life. You start talking yourself into it. And that can be anything in your life. I remember when I was thanking God for restoring my body. Help me lose weight and get in better shape, because I started telling him I wanted to live to be 100. He said, then you'll have to follow my instructions. And I thought, okay, what's the Bible say about it? He started to speak to me about what I eat and how much I eat. And how I needed to get moving more. And how I needed to, I thought, this don't sound like Jesus. This sounds like what I already know. Do you know many times the Lord will give you a word, something you've already known, just not been doing it. But when it comes as a word of the Lord, power comes with it. Power comes to do. That's the grace and mercy of God. When faith is activated, he comes with what it takes to get it done where you could never do it on your own before. It was impossible with man because you're the man. You're the woman. If it was impossible to you before, it is not impossible with God. That's what faith is, to say, I can't do this by myself, but I can do it with somebody else's help. I remember how many times in my life I've heard somebody say, if I only had somebody to help me. And I'm thinking, you need help with that? Just get up and get it done. And I've since learned everybody needs help with something. Isn't it humbling? Of course it is. Now, so then faith comes by hearing. That's written in the continual sense. It means and hearing and hearing and hearing. Ever been in an echo chamber? I remember when we went to the Grand Canyon, the first time with the kids, I was determined to find a place where you could hear that echo, echo, echo. I had to try 3 or 4 places, but I found a sweet spot. When I found the sweet spot, I stayed there and I called out so I could hear again and again whatever I was saying. And I started calling the names of my children. And when I called them out, pretty soon they're looking all around. Where's the voice coming from? Dad was over here, but the voice was over here. That's kind of what God does when we get a hold of his word, is we speak it out and it starts to echo all around us. And we have to look around and say, okay, what do I do now? What's my orientation? His word changes our orientation because we find a sweet spot. And I believe you're going to find that this year. You may not find it in every area of life you want help with, but let's go for the top like 5. All right. If you can think of the top 5, rather than a resolution, I just want a solution. Reso means, I gotta do it. Solution means God's already done it and I'm going to line up with it. I like that better. That means he's going to help me in the doing. He's my helper. Now, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God, or by the word of God, or hearing the word of God. Now, you can hear it with your ears and not hear it. Or you can decide today, I'm going to hear it at a deeper level. I'm going to hear it on the inside. Now, you've got to work out what that looks like for you. I had a hard time hearing it on the inside when I was younger, trying to learn these things. And I learned I needed to write it down and hear it several times. I needed to get the cassette tape and play it again and again. I still listen to CDs and DVDs today of things I learned 35 and 40 years ago. Every year, certain things I listen to. Why? I'm going to hear that word again. Why? I pick the best teacher I know that taught on that, and I listen again, and I listen again. Why? It doesn't say faith comes because I know something. It says faith comes by hearing. So I just decided I'm going to keep myself in a hearing mode. Now, I want you to think about scrutinizing your faith according to what are you hearing? How much of it are you hearing? How often are you hearing? And putting yourself in a position to do some more hearing of God's word. And that isn't condemnation. That is an exhortation to be wise by. Because I've learned in the increased hearing, the more getting. The increased hearing, why? Faith grows. And I become convinced, and some things become so convinced that you could say, we're going to take your head off unless you say you don't believe it. I say, I'm not going to say I don't believe it. I believe it. Well, I'm convinced. I'm so convinced if I came into that situation, the guillotine blade would snap before it got to my neck. And if it didn't, I'd go to heaven, and who cares? Say, really, Pastor? Yeah, it took me a lot of years to get to that point. All right. Well, I didn't want to be taken out that way, and I'm not saying I will be. I won't be. Well, I'm not near done yet. Now, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It does not come because you have a need. That's why I say unabashedly and openly here, we're not here for the church to meet everybody's needs. We're here to minister to the Lord, knowing he has met our need. And we're learning out how he did it is through seed. And he says, you want your need met? Partner with me. Here's the seed to get what you need. That's pretty good. And we come together because this represents a great seed house. Lord told me years, many, 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 many years ago to govern myself and manage myself as to become a great seed house for the kingdom. Well, I've learned what that means since. If I'm going to have the seed, I've got to grow some things. I've got to use my mouth to produce. I've got to understand how to engage to get a return on spiritual things. Not just, you know, if I'm a seed house that just gives seed out to everybody and they don't grow anything, who's going to be convinced they want more of that seed? So you see, the kingdom's expanded when you grow it, when we all grow it. The same thing that I bring to you, I bring to me, only I scrutinize myself harder. Why? I have chosen to be my own worst critic when it comes to faith. Why? I have to see, is it working? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And I've gone through a season. Every year I do this, I go through a season where I'm like, okay, let's add some magnification. Oh, God, do I want to? And what it means, add the magnification of God's word. Am I producing rivers of living water? Do I really want to see? Is there an empty riverbed, or is there a trickle, or at what flood stage am I? And sometimes I find, oh, the banks of the river go out further than the water does. I better do something about that. I've come through a season where I'm looking over the body of Christ saying, Lord, there are things your word says about the glorious days of the glorious church that I'm not seeing it when I scrutinize. So I'm going to choose to see it by faith, and you're going to tell me what I need to do. What's my part in it? Thank God none of us are all of it, but we're a part in it. Your rivers of living water adds to what God's doing in the earth. What you do is important. What you do not only counts, it's the plan of God for your life. And when we engage His plan by faith, everything else starts to line up and work out better. When things aren't working out so well, I always step back and say, all right, God, I'm missing out on something here. And it isn't just, I need to know a new Bible verse to convince myself it's true. Jesus isn't looking for what I know. He's looking for faith. He's looking for my connection to who I know instead of just what I know about Him. And there's a difference. Now, we increase, faith increases our life in Jesus being Lord. It makes Him more Lord. That's what we're being saved to. Everything He has in mind. And faith gives us access then to a kingdom. You're not supposed to have a king without a kingdom. God didn't design it that way. And He didn't say you're going to be a king, you're going to be in the kingdom of God, but it's not going to happen until you get to heaven. When we chose Jesus and He came to live inside of us, the king took a seat there. And when He took a seat there, we can choose how much we want to come into the kingdom. And we do it only by faith. He doesn't bless a life without faith. He blesses a life because of it. Now, I want to share these statements that are about the kingdom. We have the legal right to occupy and take back territory. It's a legal right. It is not automatic. Because you come to church, it's not going to happen for you. Because you come to Living Word, even, it won't happen for you. When you come to hear God's word, you find out what your legal rights are, but then you have to take action. Because there is a jury in this world called the devil and evil forces that are out to say, you don't get yours, but you have to come with Jesus, who is your advocate and your attorney, and say, I am coming back to take hold of what is for me. You have a legal right, but you have to take personal action. I'm here to tell you, you're in a house where I'll make sure your legal rights are known, and you need to decide, I'm taking action on that. I'm going to have what I'm supposed to have, because God did not leave us here to suffer. Jesus came to take away the suffering. He came to lead us then into a place of blessing, not live in a wilderness for 40 years. Now, our authority increases through the use of Jesus' name. We have to remember the king. We've got to remember it's His authority. He gave it to us, and He says you access that authority by using His name. The name of Jesus changes everything. Again, He can be living in you, and you'll go to heaven because He's in there. But if you want to change what's happening out here, it's a matter of lordship, saying, Jesus, I'm calling on you as my Lord. See, that's how we call on His name. When we call on His name, we don't say, Jesus, I'm asking for this because I want it. We are saying, Jesus, I am asking for this because it establishes your kingdom. And in the establishing of your kingdom, you're taking care of me. And I'm not going to be thinking about me first. I'm going to be thinking about you first, because I'm a steward and not a selfish person. That's why Jesus says better to give than receive. He knew it would help us learn how to operate in the kingdom. Everything God's blessed you with is for a purpose. And if you forget the purpose, you'll lose the blessing. I want you to remember that. See, there's many that blame God that they've lost a blessing when God's never at fault. He made us the steward. Now, third thing, our words and language are proof of allegiance. Why do we have to speak God's word? It shows the devil and this world and every force that is against you who you are for and who you are with. Your allegiance. When we speak God's word, the enemy says they belong to him. They belong to him. And automatically the enemy starts to release strongholds because he believes you're going to send him packing because you know the king. And that king displaced anything that the devil has a hold over on you. Jesus displaced it. But we have to take hold of it and say, I take that for me. I'm not putting up with this. You ever had anything happen bad enough to you, repeated enough that you just finally, I'm not putting up with this anymore. That's the attitude we have to have. And that's how we enter into allegiance. Now understand, God did one better here. He said, I'm going to even give you a language that belongs to the kingdom, a language that's private between you and God that the Holy Spirit brings. We call that praying in tongues. Well, today people say, I don't understand that. I'm telling you what it is. It's a shortcut to have the right vocabulary. It's a shortcut that the enemy does not understand. It's a shortcut that you're speaking in a direct dialect to heaven. You're speaking in a direct dialect that the throne of God knows who it is that's speaking and what you're going to say before you say it, because it's a perfect prayer. And God's just waiting. Let me hear it out of their mouth. And here's the glory of it. You don't have to know what you're saying. You trust the Holy Spirit to do the same. And when you do, it takes you beyond the borders or limitations of what you know. It takes you to a new level of faith. It's an essential to go to a higher level of faith, to say, Holy Spirit, you're going to pray through me and you're going to do some things through me too. And that's allegiance. Why? Your words establish allegiance. I want you to understand that heaven cannot do that for you. Your words do that for you. But there's a heavenly language for you that the Holy Spirit gives. And many get filled with the Spirit and pray in tongues once in a while when they're under great duress or stress. That's not the time to pray in the Spirit. I mean, you can, but I wouldn't save it up for when you're really in trouble. Nowhere does it say that tongues are to get you out of trouble. All right? It says that tongues are to pray a perfect prayer to keep out of trouble. Why, that's the kind of teacher we have. He doesn't want us to deal with more pitfalls. He wants to pave our road out before us and make it better. Why would we not want that? Fourth thing, we overcome resistance from occupying forces. You're not going to go into a territory where there's not an enemy trying to stop you. But faith gives you the ability to predict he's going to be there, because anything that matters to you is going to matter to the devil to keep it away from you. That's who he is. He came to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's gunning for you. So you got to understand he's out there, but you have the power and ability and authority to call him out and send him packing. Now. Fifth, we deny the other gods that rise up in competition. Here's a biggie in the body of Christ I want you to know about. If you're not careful, the very things you prayed for God to bless you with will become the gods of your future that dethrone Jesus in your heart. What do I mean by that? I've watched many times as people pray, God prosper me. They get a little business, or they get a promotion, or they get more responsibility. And that becomes more important than honoring the Lord and putting him first. They start laying out of church. I can tell you they're going to lose the eternal part of that blessing. They might even lose the temporal part of it. I've seen that happen again and again. What they thought would make them happy didn't make them happy. Why? They took it for themselves and didn't say, God, it belongs to you. See, sometimes we think when we get a blessing from the Lord, ooh, that's for me. No, it's never for you first. It's always for him first. When we keep that attitude, we keep the stream going. We keep the flow going. And when we don't, we start to erect altars to idols. Many times people, you know, pray, God, give us a family. Give us a good, you get a good family. Every family is a good family. All right. You just have to sometimes bring more of the goodness of God in. But he gives us family. Why? He wants to bless your family. But you know what? Family is never supposed to come before putting Jesus first. When it does, what happens is idolatry comes into a family and they will not experience faith like they should. Their faith won't work like it should. Why? We're under the pressures of this world, and the world says family comes before God. You'll not find that anywhere in the scripture. He requires to be first, and then family starts to work out. He requires to be first in money, then money starts to work out. He requires to be first in our body, in what we do with it, then our health begins to work out. He requires first, and we can like it or not. Many times people say, well, I don't like when you teach on that. So, well, that's evidence you need to choose to believe it, whether you like it or not. That's many times how the gospel hits us. It's the good news, but it doesn't sound good at the time. But it's going to result in good. That's what makes it good news, is the result. Now, my acts of submission are evidence of my citizenship. That's why we become givers instead of takers. It's evidence of our citizenship. We're saying, I have the documentation to say I'm in the kingdom. When we tithe, it's a documentation of covenant. That's scripture. It says, I have done my bit because God did his bit, and now we're partners. Without that peace, we're not citizens with those rights. We're wishful thinkers. Think of it this way. We're illegal, wanting legal benefit. Ooh, pastor's getting political. Oh, you betcha, because it's in the scripture. I'm only saying what God's word says about his kingdom. The kingdoms of this world are always going to be in a mess, but the kingdom of God knows what's right. So we look for what's right. Lastly, as Jesus finds faith in me, he executes his will in me. That's how I get there. That's how I discover what he wants from me. That's what I discover his plan is. I take a little piece and I plant that seed. And I keep planting seed, and then I stand back and go, ooh, looks to me this is what the garden's growing this year. Ooh, looks to me I better get ready for this kind of harvest. I've learned when I plant God's way, I can anticipate what kind of harvest, and I'll know what to do with it when it comes. Some people's harvest will be held in jeopardy because they don't let God speak into what to do with it. And that's where most people get in trouble. They get a little bit of blessing, and then if they don't stay connected to the blesser, they seem to lose the blessing. Or another God pops up, or they just get so busy, they think, well, hey, I sure wanted this. Maybe this is a new anointing on my life, and I just have to work every Sunday now. There's no such anointing. The anointing of God says to be in church with brothers and sisters, not sitting at home watching TV. That is not the body of Christ. That can be a source of blessing into your life, but it's not what he calls fellowship in the body. We're to be in the body. So you see, we're going to cut to the chase. What does the scripture say? Because we're not only coming for full-on worship, we're coming for full-on word. And if we will get those two pieces right, he'll bring full-on manifestation of his Holy Spirit. And that means if we are in trouble and we do have an emergency, he's there for that too. I want the whole deal, don't you? Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you today for preparing us for a mighty move of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, we take hold of your word today and what portion we want to. Father, in this house, everybody gets what they want from this. It's going to be up to them to do the wanting and mix faith with this word. But Father, we're planning the garden of harvest for our lives, and we're taking cues from you. We're going to the mirror of our moment's life right now and scrutinizing. We're not evaluating by what we see, but we're scrutinizing by what your scripture says, and there's a difference. We're going to be challenged rather than beaten down. We're going to be encouraged rather than giving up. We're going to take action rather than sit back waiting for somebody else to do it, because, Father, you called us good ground, good soil, and the kind of soil that produces 100-fold. Now, Lord, I speak in anticipation over this congregation that you prepare our hearts to enter into a new level, a new place of covenant, a new growing kind of faith that's dynamic and exciting. The Father, nobody can steal the excitement that you put in our heart. Nobody can tell us that the seed's not genuine. Nobody can tell us it won't grow, because you have prophesied over us. We are the good ground, and we believe it. So, Father, thank you for your perfect will coming to pass in our lives, filled with good and blessing. We step out of any Egypt element in our life, and we forsake it and say, Jesus, you are my Passover unto what you promised. I'm not just leaving the old behind, but I am embracing the new, and the new has resurrection in it. The new has glory in it. The new has a harvest in it, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.